Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the problem of division. Division in the denominations, and sadly, even divisions in the Church of Christ. Even though Jesus prayed in John chapter 17 that we would all be one, that there would be, we would all speak the same thing, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 there, I beseech you that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. We made the point then that Scripture itself is not the problem. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So it's perfect. It's absolutely flawless. It does exactly what God designed and planned for it to do. When people read the Scriptures and they come out divided, it's not because there's a problem with Scripture. It's a problem with the minds or the hearts or the desires of the people who are reading it. And so when we read, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine. Brethren, all doctrine has to come from the Scriptures. Any doctrine that is not in the Scriptures, as Jesus made the point in Matthew chapter 15, in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So we need to make sure that what we do is traced back to Scripture, because only Scripture is profitable for doctrine. Most of the divisions in the world today have come because doctrine has been based not on Scripture, but on history or on the thinkings of individuals. It's also good for reproof, which means, and correction and instruction. Now, this is the way we raise up our children. We reprove them when they do what's wrong. We correct them when they make mistakes. And we instruct them, and that's exactly what God does. And so in verse 17, if we use the Scriptures, if we allow the Scriptures to bring us our doctrine, that we correct and reprove and instruct based on Scripture, then we can be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So God's instructions clearly have been given to us to lead us back to Him, to lead us back to the right path. As Paul pointed out, they are all, there's none good, no, not one. They have all left God. They don't seek Him. And so it's our responsibility. It's your responsibility, my responsibility. When we stand before God on the judgment day, whosoever goeth onward and abides not in the teachings of Christ doesn't have God. That's in the Scriptures. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. That also is in the Scriptures. If you abide in my word, you will be my disciples indeed. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And of equal importance is Jesus' statement in Matthew chapter 7 in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, not everyone who calls me Lord is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. Now, brethren, I don't know where else we will find the will of God except in the Scriptures. Clearly, we wouldn't. Anything outside of the Scriptures is man's will. Only interpreting the Scriptures, as Paul points out here, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Approved, accepted, pleasing. A worker who doesn't need to be ashamed. Why? Because we are rightly dividing the word of truth. So this is our mandate. We see the division in the world. We see the division in the denominations. We see the divisions even in the Lord's church. We don't want to be a part of that. We want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. The problem is always because people are not staying within the Scriptures. They are not rightly dividing the Scriptures. And so as we continue our study this evening, we want to talk a little bit about how God words commands. And the first way that God, well, I guess I got this one first. Yeah, there it is. All right. So God gives commands based on His needs and based on our needs. We need to be in submission to Him. We need to do His will. We need to be on His side. And He has specific needs that He expects of us, like preaching the gospel, like conquering our lusts, like overcoming our sins and repenting of them. Some commands are specific, and there's only one way to disobey them. This particular command, there was only one way God said, of every tree of the garden you may eat. There was no way for them to violate this command without eating from one specific tree. God made it very clear. There was no way to misunderstand this. There was no way to disobey this except to eat. If Adam had said, but what about this tree? Of every tree you may eat. Well, what about this tree? Of every tree you may eat. Well, what about this one over here? The tree of the knowledge. I've told you, if you eat of that tree, you will surely die. So every other tree was lawful. Now, most people like commands in the scriptures to work like this, but they don't all work like this because there's another way that God commands, and that is there sometimes are general commands, and there's only one way to disobey, and that is not to do it. When Noah said, make an ark, when God said, make an ark, he didn't give any specifics at all. Noah had free rein on how to make that ark. He could do it any way he wanted because God simply said, make it. Didn't tell him how. He simply told him, I want you to make an ark. And so the only way to disobey this command would be to refuse to make the ark. So we have specific commands like don't eat of that tree, and there's only one way to disobey it, and that's to eat of the tree. Other commands do this, and there's only one way to disobey it, and that is not to do it. And so he could choose to make it any way he wanted. There were no restrictions. But some commands are simple, specific commands with many ways to disobey. So when God said, make an ark of gopher wood, what was he doing? He was removing any other wood but gopher wood. Now, this is just exactly the opposite of the command in the garden. In the garden, they were told, you can eat of every tree, but not the tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Here, God tells Noah, you must make this ark of gopher wood. Now, this command could be disobeyed in a multitude of ways. If he made it of oak, if he made it of pine, if he made it of wood, if he made it of metal. Any other wood, any other material, clearly would be disobedience. God said gopher wood. With that specific command, he removes every other type of wood. And if men start arguing, well, we want this ark made of this kind of wood, or this kind of wood, or this kind of wood, we say, wait a minute, God said gopher wood. And there's a lot of commands in the scriptures today that people just flat aren't going to do, even though God has specified exactly how he wants it done. The last command that we want to think about is called a complex specific command. Now, in this particular case, God gives the wood, he gives the rooms, he gives the pitch, verse 15, he gives the length and the width and the height. And verse 16, you shall make a window, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. Now, that's what I would call a very complex, specific command with certain specific steps that have to be done. First, we get the gopher wood. Then we get the pitch. Then we measure out 300 cubits, and we measure out 50 cubits, and we measure up 30 cubits, and we make absolutely certain that the ark is no more and no less than that number of cubits. No higher, no lower. No wider, no narrower. 30 cubits, 50 cubits, 300 cubits. Well, Noah had to be meticulous here. Just like somebody building a skyscraper, somebody building a bridge. There are specific ways that have to be followed. If they're not followed, then he goes on to say that you're going to pitch it. And then, verse 16, you're going to put a window. And you're going to finish it a cubit above. Now, it's interesting, as you look at the arcs that people make today, they can't quite figure out how this window and door work, because every one of them is a little bit different. But Noah knew. Noah knew exactly how it was to be done. Now, he also says, you shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. So now we've got the height, we've got the width, and now we've got the number of decks. There's one floor, then there's a deck, and a deck, and then there's the roof. So God knew what it would take for that ark to withstand all of the forces that the flood. The flood was not just rain. He broke the surface, he broke the fountains of the deep. And it sounds like, and of course looking at what's left behind, it's pretty clear that there was a cataclysmic events in that flood. God wanted the ark to make it. He also knew how many animals there were going to be. He was the only one who knew how wide and high and how many decks it would take to put all the animals and all the birds and all the insects and everything else that were put into that ark. So Noah, and of course I didn't put it in here, but at the end of this chapter it says, thus Noah did exactly as God had commanded him. Now we see these four types of commands throughout the scriptures, and we have to be able to identify them. If it's a simple, specific command, like don't do this, then that has to be done or not done. If it's a simple command to do something, if it's a simple command that's specific, and so what we want to do with the rest of the lesson is we want to look at some examples of each of these things. So, because we have to be diligent. Most of the reason that there are divisions today is because God gave a specific command and people want to fulfill it with their own wisdom. God said, make the ark of gopher wood, and somebody else comes along and says, no, I'm going to make it of pine because pine is softer. It's a lot easier to work with. Or I'm going to make it with oak because I like the design. I like the wood grain of oak. Or somebody else comes along and says, I like the smell of eucalyptus, so I'm going to make it out of eucalyptus. And people divide up, and all of a sudden now we've got arks made of all different kinds of wood, except it's not the ark, it's the church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and man says, we're going to build churches. And then somebody like Billy Graham comes along and says, join whatever church you want, when Jesus said, I will build my church. There's only one church, one body. And so what we have to do, brethren, we got to navigate through this. And the world's getting stronger and stronger in rebellion against God. And somehow, we've got to take the compass. Remember what Jeremiah said, it's not a man that walks to direct his own steps. So you and I, we got to work this out. We have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. When Jesus said, not everyone who calls me Lord, but only those who do the will of my Father in heaven, that followed from the statement, strive to enter the narrow gate, for wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many are on it. Now, why would there be a wide gate? Because some people don't like the gate Jesus made. Now, the gate Jesus made in Matthew 6 or Mark 16, 15 and 16, or in Matthew 28, 18, or in Acts 2, 38, the gate Jesus made was baptism. To hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Now, the denominations will hear and believe and repent and confess, but they absolutely refuse the baptism. And that gate has gotten wider and wider and wider. Sprinkling instead of immersion. In water, in the Holy Spirit, just wider and wider and wider, because that's the gate. Now, the path is also narrow or broad. Well, that's because some people want to interpret the scriptures exactly the way that they were revealed, and they take the time to be diligent and to rightly divide. We don't want to go too far. We don't want to go not far enough. We want to get it right. So the wording of a command is carefully assessed. For example, instrumental music is clearly condemned in Ephesians 5:19, but not specifically. It's condemned because God said, speak one to another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Making melody is the Greek word solo, and people have made the argument. Solo is there. Yes, it's there, but the instrument is clearly defined as the human heart. You make melody to God with the human heart. You sing one to another. There's no way for instrumental music to fit in there. Well, it was in the Old Testament. Well, a lot of things were in the Old Testament that aren't in the New Testament. Why don't we offer incense? Why don't we offer animal sacrifices? The argument is ridiculous because it has no bearing whatsoever. The key is Ephesians 5:19. And any church who says, we're not only going to have singing and making melody in our heart, we're going to bring in an organ. Well, if you do the history study, you find out that didn't happen until 700 years after the church was in existence. They didn't use instruments in the first century. They didn't use it in the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, or the sixth century. When did they bring it in? With great controversy? In the seventh century. So, again, it's simply a matter of assessing, and within each command, we're going to find either a specific command with only one way to fulfill or a general command with only one way to fail. So, go into all the world. I don't care how you go, Jesus said. You can't fail if you take a plane, if you take a ship, if you take a boat, if you ride a donkey, if you walk, if you run, if you... whatever you do, you can't fail with that command except one way. I'm not going. So a general command only has one way to fail, and a specific command only has one way to fail because you add something else to the specific command. Then, of course, we looked at these other two, and we'll develop this as the lesson goes on. So you always know whether the instruction is general, because God doesn't give any specifics. Make an ark. Well, it's clearly a general command. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Well, that's pretty simple. Remember the Sabbath. Don't work on the Sabbath day. So having details, but if it's specific, step by step, think, for example, of Moses given the pattern to build the ark. And God says, you be careful. You follow that pattern to the exact letter. I showed you exactly how to build it. I want it built that way and only that way. So when God speaks in general command or general terms, we can fill it any way we want. Not forsaking the assembling together. Where are we going to assemble? He doesn't say. Does he care? Under a tree? By the riverside? In an upper room? Rented facility? Purchase facility? He doesn't say. So we have the authority with our own abilities to assemble anywhere we choose. There is no specific command regarding assembly. So how Noah made the ark, how the apostles went, where we choose to assemble, didn't give any specifics. He doesn't care. If he cared, he'd give us a specific. When he told Noah to make the ark and doesn't give any specifics, means he doesn't care. He's giving that to us to do. But when God gives a specific command, then there are multitudes of ways to disobey it, because any substitution to the specific thing, like instrumental music, make melody in your heart. Now, any substitution to heart is a direct violation of the scripture. It's a direct violation of the will of God. So let's look at an example of this. And if in Leviticus chapter 16, God gives a specific command. He says, he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord. All right, there's a specific command. Get it from the altar. Specific command. Is there a way to violate that command? Yes, there is. Get it anywhere else from the altar, and you have violated that specific command. And so the type of fire was clearly commanded. The type of incense was clearly commanded. Then we read, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane or common or strange, depending on your translation, profane, common, strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. He commanded them to get the coals from off the altar. They got the fire, strange fire, common fire, profane fire. Don't know where they got it. Might have got it from a cooking fire. They might have got it from some other form of fire. They brought some coals that weren't from the altar. Doesn't matter where they got it. They violated God's command. They offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. Now we know what happened next. Fire came out and burned them up, And then Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord meant when he said, I will be glorified among the people and you will treat me as holy. If I say altar fire, you will do it to glorify me and to treat me as holy. You're not going to do it any other way. Now, I've often illustrated this with an electrician who asks his son to go flip a breaker. And he says, I want the second breaker on the left. That's a specific command. He can flip any other breaker on that board and the father's going to get shocked or electrocuted because he didn't follow the specific command. A specific command gives you exactly how to do it. And if you don't do it that way, then you violated the command. So he could flip all the breakers in the box, but if he doesn't flip the one breaker that the father told him to flip, we all know what's going to happen. And so Nadab and Abihu did not take a censer full of burning coals from the altar. Well, what'd God do about it? Well, he struck them dead. Why'd he strike them dead? Because they weren't treating him as holy. Because they weren't glorifying him. Because they were taking a specific command and making a substitution, and God makes it very clear, I don't like substitutions. Matter of fact, I don't like it so much, I'm striking these two people dead. So there was only way to obey this command. Now here's another one. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of the people. Now there's a specific command, strike the rock. Moses struck the rock, the water came out, everything was great. God wanted the rock to be struck. But then he gives another command, take the rod, you and your brother. It's interesting, he doesn't need the rod, but God tells him to take it. Take the rod, and you and your brother Aaron gather the congregation together. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you, oops, I guess I did that twice. All right, so verse 8, take the rod, you and your brother, gather the congregation, speak to the rock before their eyes, it will yield its water. Well, wait a minute, Lord, you just told him to strike the rock, what, 20 years earlier, 30 years earlier, maybe 40 years earlier, when they were first coming out of the Red Sea. Now we're just about to go into the promised land. Strike the rock, speak to the rock. Does it matter? Is God going to have a problem if he doesn't do it exactly the way that he told him to do it? He told him to take the rod, had the rod in his hand. But he was told to speak to the rock with the rod in your hand. Well, he remembers the last time, and it was strike the rock. So God gave him a specific command. Well, we all know what happened. Moses took the rod, as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Now, some people would say, well, see, the water came out. Since the water came out, clearly wasn't wrong for him to strike the rock, even though God said speak to the rock. Wrong. The next verse makes it very clear. Aaron shall be gathered to his people, for he shall not enter the land which I have given to the children of Israel, because you rebelled against my word. Wait a minute, how did they rebel? He took the rod. All he did was strike the rock. God says, you rebelled against my word. I told you specifically to speak to the rock. Striking the rock was rebellion. You rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Then it goes on to say this a little bit later. For in the wilderness of Zin, during the strife of the congregation, you rebelled. Now this is Moses. The first one's Aaron. The second one is Moses. You rebelled against my command to hallow me before their eyes. And of course, we know the end of that story. Moses was told, you can't go into the promised land. Now, he pleaded with God, and God finally said, speak to me no more of this matter. You aren't going in because, right here, you rebelled against my word. But there was another problem with what Moses did, and that's brought out in the psalm. They angered him at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses on account of them. Because they rebelled against his spirit, he spoke rashly with his lips. Now, let's go back and look and see what actually happened there. In verse 10, Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" We? God brought the water from the rock. Moses and Aaron. Moses was so angry, he forgot to hallow God's name. He didn't sanctify him in two ways. He didn't sanctify him just exactly like Nadab and Abihu. God told Nadab and Abihu to get their coals of fire from the altar. When they brought it from somewhere else, he called it common or profane fire, and he struck them dead. And Moses said to Aaron, "This is what it means to treat God as holy, and this is what it means to glorify him." Now we have the same problem. We bring you water. So there were two things that Moses and Aaron did. The first was you rebelled against my word, just like Nadab and Abihu. You didn't treat me as holy. You didn't treat me like I said, "Speak to the rock." You struck the rock. That wasn't my will. That's not what I asked you to do. You did not treat me as holy. He told Aaron that. He told Moses that. But then it goes on to say in Psalms 106 that he spoke unadvisedly when he said, "Shall we bring you water?" So there were clearly two violations here of a specific command. Let's think about moving the ark. Whenever Israel moved the tabernacle, God had given a specific method. You remember there were three sons of Levi. There was Kohath and Merari and Gershom. And each one was given a specific task. The Kohathites were given the task of moving all the furniture in the ark. And there were poles on every one of them, and they were specifically told, you carry it by the poles. You carry the ark by the pole. You carry the lampstand by the pole. You carry everything by poles. And so it was to be carried on the shoulders of the sons of Kohath. Now, to make certain they didn't misunderstand this, God said this a little bit later. The sons of Kohath, he gave none. They brought 12 wagons and 24 oxen. And God said, you give, I can't remember now the breakdown, but let's say they gave eight. You give eight oxen and carts to the people who are carrying the boards. And you give four carts with their oxen to the people who are carrying the curtains and the fabric. But don't you give any to Kohath. Well, why not? But unto the sons of Kohath he gave none, because the service of the sanctuary belonged unto them. They bore it on their shoulders. See, it would not have been, for them to get an ark would be for them to be tempted, a wagon, for them to be tempted to violate this command. God said, carry it on your shoulders. Didn't say that to Gershon and Merari. They can have wagons. But Kohath can't have any wagons. Now, you would think David would have remembered that, but we all know the story. They didn't. And so, they had the idea to move the ark on a cart. God said, bear it on the shoulders of Kohathites. Is that going to matter? It was 800 years or something like that ago. It was a long time ago. As the ark moved, Israel worshipped with all their might, oblivious to their failure to sanctify God, just like Moses didn't, just like Nadab and Abihu didn't. God was not impressed with their sincere ignorance. They were in disobedience. The anger of Jehovah was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put forth his hand to the ark, and there he died. Why did he die? Because God didn't give him any grace. Why didn't he give him any grace? Because that ark was not supposed to be on a wagon. And when that wagon, when the oxen lurched, and Uzzah's normal reaction, we've got to save the ark, so he grabbed the holy ark. Well, God had told him, if you ever touch that ark, you're going to die. And a lot of people had died. But the problem, he didn't die because God was angry that they put the ark on a cart. He died because he touched the ark. But why did he touch the ark? Because the ark was on a cart. Well, David wasn't happy. David was displeased. He expected grace. He expected God to be grateful. We are doing something wonderful. And David, the man after God's own heart, who had missed a command 600 years, however many years ago it was, but after a careful study of the scriptures, it says this, because you bore it not at the first, Jehovah our God made a breach upon us, for we sought him not according to the ordinance. So what was the ordinance? The Kohathites will carry the articles of the furniture of the tabernacle, including the ark, on their shoulders. Centuries later, they put the ark on a cart. And Uzzah dies. David's really unhappy about it. But then he goes back and he starts studying the scriptures and he finds out the reason we had this problem is because we didn't seek God according to the ordinance. What ordinance? The ordinance that only the Kohathites can carry the ark. Nobody else can carry the ark. Any other modification and you're not following the ordinance. They were in violation. So David had unknowingly violated a specific command. And then they turned around and did it right. The children of the Levites bore the ark of God upon their shoulders with its staves thereon as Moses commanded according to the word of Jehovah. Time doesn't matter. Reasons don't matter. We'll talk, I think we might do Saul next week. I'm not sure yet. I'm trying to decide what we're going to do. But Saul did the same thing. God told Moses, I will utterly blot out Amalek because they attacked the stragglers at the end of the day when everyone was tired. And I will never forget, and you must never forget, we're going to blot them out. Well, Saul comes along. God says, now's the time. You go in there and you utterly destroy everything. Well, Saul did a half job. He was pretty impressed with himself. God says, I regret that I made Saul king because he has not followed my commands. And then after Saul makes all kinds of excuses, probably the same kind of excuses, God's going to hear from all the people today who are doing exactly the same thing Saul did. God said this, has the Lord as great delight in sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Jehovah? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, for rebellion is as the sin of idolatry and a failure to heed. And so God made it clear. So if we're going to be united, we've got to learn how to interpret God's commands. And we can't just say, well, God's grace will cover it. We'll just get it. You know, it's 6-1, half dozen the other. No, it's not. If it's a specific command, like don't eat of the fruit of the tree of that tree, if you eat it, you will die. Why? Because you violated a specific command. Well, what about all the other trees? You do whatever you want with the other tree. Noah, build the ark of gopher wood. He did it. Nadab and Abihu, get your coals from the altar fire. They didn't do it. Move the ark with the Kohathites on your shoulders. They didn't do it. Speak to the rock. He didn't do it. How many times does God have to show us when I give specifics, I expect specific obedience. When I give generalities, then I expect general. I've given you the ability to make those choices. And so the reason, brethren, that we are hopelessly divided today on the organization of the church, on the worship of the church, on how to become a member of the church, on the name of the church, and I could just go on and on and on. There's only one reason. It's not the scriptures. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So it's not the scriptures. But what's the problem? The problem is people won't rightly divide. They won't take the time to learn if it's a specific command, it has to be done exactly that way. If it's a general command, you do have the right to make some decisions. But then a whole new subject comes in, which is the subject of expediency, where Paul says there's a lot of factors in these general commands that you need to understand. And so, brethren, as we complete our lesson this evening, I hope I've made the proper case here. God wants obedience. Sometimes he wants specific. Sometimes he wants general. Sometimes it's complex. Sometimes it's simple. If we don't rightly divide, we have what we have today. There's only one true church, but there's, what's the last count? 5,000-6,000 churches in America today. Gates getting wider and wider, isn't it? And the path is getting wider and wider. We don't want to go there. We want to stay on the narrow path that leads to life. And if we don't rightly divide the scriptures, that's never going to happen. And we see the pages of the Old Testament littered with broken, destroyed, punished people because they took a general command and did it however they wanted. I'm sorry, they took a specific command and did it however they wanted, or they refused to do what God told them to do in a general command. And so, brethren, as we prepare now to sing the song of encouragement, I hope that this lesson has been helpful to us. It's so discouraging to look at the world today and then to hear people saying, the Bible must be really complicated because nobody can agree on it. Well, that's not the reason that nobody can agree on it. It's because they won't rightly divide. And so as we sing number 302, if there's anyone in the audience who's been touched by this lesson, realizes that they violated a specific command or haven't completed a general command, and they want to make their life right with God, we invite you to come while we together stand and sing.